This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the takes of Nationals fans. I mean, there was just a lot of things that went weirdly yesterday. You had the Cubs having two hits that scored runs, and they beat a team that had nine runs on 14 hits. You had a challenge on the first batter. You had a guy thrown out at the plate, a wild pitch. You're down 5-4. Your ace gives up four runs in an inning, and you fall behind. You had a botched call, out two runs. John Jay brings home a run with a slide at second that may or may not should have been ruled illegal.
It's fringe.
Jason Wirth missing a fly ball in left, a controversial play at second. Jose Lobaton picked off first. Shall I continue? I mean, this is just a weird, weird game. And shocker, most of the weird bounces went against the team that you like.
Yeah, the DC sports team didn't win it. That's a stunning upset, said no one.
Jamal Collier of MLB.com. Jamal, how do you put into words and try to make any sense of yesterday?
Yeah, that was my challenge at, you know, after midnight when that game ended, trying to you know, encapsulate all that. Bizarre, you know, I still can't decide. Was it one of the best games I've seen? Was it one of the worst games I've seen? It was a very interesting game, but there were so many kind of sloppy and kind of hideous plays that worked out and were fun and were all over the place. It just was a mess of a game. And for people who have a skin in the game or a horse in the race, I feel for you, because to watch the way that thing unfolded there over 3 hours and change was just kind of bizarre for me to just kind of sit up and try to write about. So I can imagine for the rest of you guys.
Jamal, you know this game so well. You cover this team, and you've seen ups and downs, you know, throughout here. Answer this however you want. What was the most costly mistake for the Nationals last night, whether it was tactical, a physical play, whatever it is? What was the most costly mistake, do you think?
That's tough. It probably goes to somewhere in the fifth inning where there just was so many things that kind of went wrong. I think the way the Weeders, the strikeout with Baez and then that ball getting away, that seemed like the one that was just kind of maybe most easily avoidable or something there should have happened, whether or not the rule or not. Just Weeders throwing the ball away after that, I thought was, a throw that he didn't really have to make. I the Lobaton play, obviously, is probably just the most obviously painful and obviously kind of just a bad play. And it's tough because on one hand, he is back. He is safe and kind of gets overturned on a technicality. The weird thing, I think Jason Wirth kind of said this the best post game, is that, you know, you normally look back at these games, you can point to one or two moments and think what if, or think these were kind of big game changing plays. In this game, it felt like 50 things that you can look at and say, if Worth catches that ball in left field and the Cubs don't get an extra run there, if Dusty has a quicker hook on some of those guys at some point, maybe, you know, some of those runs are saved. It's easy to play the what-if game at this point, and especially in a game like that, you really can point to probably at least 10 moments or so where the game could have turned or not.
You mentioned Dusty Baker. Let's get into the offseason. The biggest question surrounding this team is his future. Just so you know kind of where we're at on the show, I made the case today that he got outmanaged a year ago by Roberts. He got outmanaged by Joe Madden. He has been more a detriment than an asset in the postseason for this team. This is not new. This is what he was in other places. He's not changing. I think what he does worse is what the postseason is. You know, the worst thing about Dusty Baker, who's a good manager and a great people person, is it in-game tactically, he is fairly inept. And in the playoffs, it is critical. And so I'm not bringing him back, because you're a playoff team with a closing window and you've got to win a 5-game series and a 7-game series and another 7-game series. And I do not trust him to go up against some of these other elite managers in that regard. I'm curious, I mean, you're a guy whose baseball acumen I really appreciate. What you think about that, A, and then B, what you think the Nationals think about that?
Personally, from my assessment, I don't think you're very far off. I mean, I think that for 162 games, there are a few managers that probably even in baseball history that I think does it as well as Dusty, just because he understands the grind of getting through, you know, February and spring training to the end of September. And I think that, you know, his players appreciate that. And I've seen the way he kind of manages these guys, you know, from just a course of an entire season and that kind of grind that that takes. And I think he does a great job in that. I think it's also very valid to question, is he the guy to outmanage another manager in the series at this point? And I think that the game, and this is not totally his fault, the game is now just so different based off when it was when he first started, based off when he was 10 years ago. Postseason baseball right now looks entirely different than it did 5 years ago, let alone when he first got into the game in the 90s. And I think that it's a tough sell. And I think just getting into what the Nationals would think, it would be a tough sell to have a guy who won back-to-back divisions, who, you know, was won 90-some games, to all of a sudden kind of get rid of him because there's not a clear, obvious, you know, next guy in mind that you could go to, and to kind of open it up to a managerial search when, you know, you do have a closing window here and you do have a but you also don't want to hand it to a guy who is a rookie manager, a guy who we've seen, obviously, guys without experience. So I just think it's tough to kind of hit the reset button at this point at the manager stage. I think the biggest thing is you have to hope that Dusty can learn. And that has to come with a combination with the front office or his coaching staff or whatever it might be to some of these kind of crucial moments. And I'll also point out this, that I didn't think last night was his fault. Joe Maddon also managed that game, I thought, pretty poorly as well. And kind of just got the save there by Wade Davis at the end, because, you know, between the Hendricks, you know, I actually didn't have a huge problem with him keeping Hendricks in as long as he did, because the Cubs didn't have a Max Scherzer to throw two innings out of the bullpen. But the way he used kind of Edwards and Quintana, and I believe we had one other guy where he got like combined, maybe two outs from three guys. And it just kind of left Wade Davis in a bad spot where he has to throw 45
pitches. I agree, though,
but
here's what
I'd
say is his mistakes generally are he is overly unconventional. In other words, like, he is shirking convention to the extreme, to the point where you go, wow, this is ballsy. He's bringing the infield in and cutting down a runner at the plate in the first inning of a 1-0 game. That's asinine.
Sure.
But Dusty's is the antithesis. It's, hey, dude, it's not June 11th.
It's
like he's doing the opposite of Joe Maddon. He's doing nothing to make it seem like it's the playoffs.
But you could also argue that when Kyle Hendricks clearly doesn't have it, given up a 4-run inning, all of a sudden Hendricks is in there to throw a couple more innings. Now, obviously, it worked out, but at the same time, if Dusty had done that same move, Gio, at that point, we'd probably be kind of, you know, skewering him right now at this point for that. So, getting back to the original point, I think I pretty much agree with you, and that I think that it's a tough sell to me to look at Dusty and matching up against some of these other managers like Dave Roberts or such right now and saying that he's going to have a clear advantage in a playoff series. I'm not sure that they're going to be ready to pull the trigger and make that call to get rid of him and move on to somebody else, because I'm not sure who else out there is better.
At Jamal Collier on Twitter. Does a great job covering the Nationals for MLB.com.
I mean,
didn't mean to cut you off there, Jamal.
John, he asked, I'll just answer your question. I mean, I think I don't love John Farrell. I've never been a huge fan. He's a better manager than Dusty Baker is. I don't love Ron Gardenhire. I like him fine. He's a better manager than Dusty Baker is. And here's where we disagree. When you say I don't like the idea of going with just a random guy who hasn't done it, I think you're 100% correct. Like, Mickey Callaway is an example who's going to be a big hot name with the Cleveland Indians, their pitching coach. My point is, I don't know what Mickey Callaway is. I know that what Dusty Baker is bad at is what you need to be good at in the playoffs. And I do not think they can win three series and play 3 weeks of winning baseball with him managing these one-run games against good managers. I just don't think they can.
Yeah, and again, I don't think that's a totally off-base criticism. I think that, on one hand, like, I think that you kind of have to, right now they're chaining him for a little bit, and I think that that they're going to go with him and try to hope that, and let's just say, I mean, they had the talent of the series, they had a chance to kind of move past, and a ball or two bounces their way, or some of those guys out there that are good players make players or get big hits, you know, then they're moving on this series. And I agree, your point was, can they not only just move on one series, but can they win three separate series here against a Dave Roberts or a Terry Francona or Joe Girardi, some of these other managers? You know, again, I think that you're right. The Nats are not going to have an advantage in that situation. But I think it's just a tough risk to take when you've got so many other pieces in place to kind of blow it up there at the top.
Jamal, real quick, I know we're up against it. What's the next biggest decision? Yeah. After Dusty, that's obviously hanging over. What's the next biggest one do you think they have to make this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, the Jason Worth one is obviously big for a lot of sentimental reasons, just because of what he's meant to his franchise and how much he loves the city and those sort of things. I think just the problem is just kind of the numbers game. We look at the series Michael Taylor had, you know, Victor Robles, Adam Eaton coming back. Goodwin had a very good year. It just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense out for the outfield to try to bring those guys back. But I think they would probably explore and see if there's any way that Jason could come back in some kind of reduced role. But I think that that's probably the next biggest thing just because of what he's meant to this city.
Jamal, great work all year long, man. I wish we had more time to talk with you because the Nats won a series for the first time ever. It would have been way more fun to have you on throughout the postseason.
And you're an asset to Nats fans, man.
Seriously.
You really are.
Great job, buddy.
Great at getting the team closer, us closer to the team, dude. So job well done all year.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You,
check out Jamal Collier's work on Twitter and on MLB.com. We'll give away those Caps tickets next. You can react to anything we've been talking about. 800-636-1067. If you've been waiting to hop in and haven't had a chance to talk Nats, you're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.